less than stuff as Christians. Start saying, I'm going to do better than that. Well, I don't do what they do. Quit having comparisonitis. When you compare yourself to other people, that's a disease. When you got to look at somebody else and compare yourself to somebody else to feel better about yourself. Measuring themselves, the Bible says, by themselves. In other words, looking at somebody else and saying, you know what, at least I ain't doing what he do. Well, I do have, at least I do have a car. Well, look at what he drive. No comparisons. But let me take my box of ointment, whatever I got in my box, and let's break this thing and put it all over him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Wells Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessing. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Dr. Montgomery will be celebrating his 64th birthday on January the 18th. And on January 28th, the fourth Sunday, he will celebrate his 35th preaching anniversary at the Greater King David Baptist Church. One church ministering in two locations, 7305 Harry Drive and 222 Blood Road. If Dr. Montgomery has been a blessing to you through the preaching, teaching ministry of God, you can bless him by Cash App or mail. Cash App address is $JEM2. $DRJEM2. Or send check or money order to Greater King David Corporate Office, 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Help us celebrate this great man of God.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I have an unusual message for us today. And I want you to pay close attention to this word, because this is one of the few times in the word where God calls somebody a fool. And it would do us well to see the circumstances surrounding why Jesus said God called a man a fool. Found in the book of Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. Now, it really doesn't matter about all of the other things we do if we miss this lesson. all of the rest of what we do falls short in terms of giving God praise, glory, and honor. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Read if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Let's begin reading now.
And he spake the parable unto them, saying, ground of a certain rich man,
17. The Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to speak from the subject this morning, lessons I've learned from a fool. Lessons I've learned from a fool. You can learn lessons from a fool if you just pay attention. There are some interesting things that we shall find in this text before us today. Excuse me. And I am grateful for your prayers and support, certainly as we are making our way through this flu or whatever this was that we've been dealing with. But we bless God for your prayers and your support. Verse 16 of this 12th chapter of Luke, Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking to his disciples, and he's sharing with them a parable. And a parable, of course, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And he's saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now, when he said a certain rich man, whenever in scripture it says a certain man or a certain woman or a certain town, it means that this account is true. It's a parable, but it is a true account. He does not speak the man's name because he's not trying to highlight the person, but rather to spotlight the principle. And one of the problems that we have is when we highlight the persons too much, we many times miss the principle that Jesus is trying to share with us. And so we must understand that he says it in this vein so that we will get the principle. Verse 17 says, and he thought within himself, What? Now keep all this in mind. Now, he's not talking to everybody or anybody but himself. The first verse, 16 verse, tells us that this man was a very hardworking man. He was ingenious and he was industrious and he was seriously successful in his time. And all that he did happened because of how this man put all of his energy, all of his time, all of his efforts in growing and expanding and increasing and getting more. So he thought within himself, what is the thought that he's saying in verse 17? What shall I do? Now, let me throw some things out at you right quick. And I need you to keep this in mind about him, first of all. One, he's selfish. Two, he's self-centered. And three, he's self-serving. Selfish, self-centered, and self-serving. All of this is about him. Just about him. Jesus is telling this story, and Jesus, if anybody knows how his heart is, his character is, his life is, Jesus does. He says, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit." Verse 18 says, and he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater." Not larger. Notice the word here, greater. And there, when he pulls down those smaller and build the greater, he says, "And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." All right, now keep in mind now, he has expanded from just his fruits from verse 17. Now it's fruits and goods. Why? Because now, as his desire to increase and get larger and more, he's pulling in all of the wealth that he has, and he's making the storage not simply larger, but greater to be able to accommodate not only the fruit, but the riches that he has also accumulated and amassed. And so he says this. Now, what's interesting is when he talks about storing all of these things there, he then has a continued conversation in his mind. He says to himself again, and now speaks to his soul. He says, "Listen, thou hast much goods laid up for how long? Many years." You won't talk about got some stuff put away for a rainy day. This man is like, we got it. We're good. And look at what he tells his soul to do. Four things. One, take thine ease. Take thine ease. Two, eat. Three, drink. And four, be merry. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Now, this is what he's telling his soul to do now. All right? This is this part that's most like God he's telling to do. Now, he says this to his soul because he does not have a relationship, nor does he have a fellowship with God. The closest thing to God is his soul. And when he says this, he's not talking to God. He's talking to his soul, that part that is eternal on the inside of him. He's talking about that part that was made in the image of God and in God's likeness. And he's speaking to his soul, not to the Father, not to the Son, not to the Spirit of God, but to his soul. And then verse 20, God interrupts his thought. Because when I first read that, I used to say he was talking to himself, but he wasn't saying nothing. He was so selfish, he didn't want nobody else to hear what he was saying. His plans were of such a nature that he didn't want even what he thought for future plans to be revealed to anybody else. And then verse 20 says, But God said unto him. Now, he didn't say anything to God. And what this tells me is, listen, God has the ability to interrupt our thoughts, our conversation, our plans, and our dealings when we leave God out of the matter. God has the ability to step in a situation where he's not even invited at and show you that he's God all by himself. And whatever you think you're going to do is going to have to be at the bequest of God, at the behest of God. It's going to have to be at the power of God. And when you leave God out of your plans, when you leave God out of your thoughts, when you leave God out of your blessings and your dealings, you still going to have to deal with God. But God said unto him, thou fool, thou fool, thou fool, this night. And listen, all that God is speaking about is in reference to what he's already said. He's just told his soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Why? Because thou hast much goods laid up for many what?
Years.
Many years. And God interrupts his thought and says, thou fool, this night, not tomorrow morning, not next week, not at the end of the year, but this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then God asks a question. Then whose shall those things be? Listen to this. Which thou, not me, which thou hast prepared, provided, laid up, stored. Who shall those things be? And one of the things I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, we might be able to amass it. We may be able to accumulate it. But when God calls us home, we can't take none of that with us. None of that. God calls him a fool because he's made all this preparation. And I want you to see some things that stuck out to me and God impressed upon my heart to share with the people of God this simple word. Lesson number one, I learned that when this man who was blessed bountifully, whose land produced plentifully, who said, I've got so much I don't have room to store it. What shall I do? I know what I'll do. He didn't ask God, he asked himself. He said, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my good. Where is God? So first lesson I learned was that a fool don't know how to say thank you for the little things or the large things. When you don't know how to say thank you to God for the little things, and when you don't know how to say thank you to God for the larger things, what you're saying to God is, God, I don't need you. I've done this all by myself. And what a fool he was, because the ground he tilled was God's. The sweat he used was God's. The breath he breathed was God's. The strength he had was God. And I could keep walking on through everything he utilized to get what he had, and it all belonged to God. And not one time does he reference God in any manner less known to say thank you. My brothers and sisters, we've got to learn how to tell the Lord thank you for the little things and thank you for the things, listen, That may not be all that we want at this point, but what he has blessed us with is got us at a point right now where we are blessed because we do have them. And God is still in the blessing business. And if he blessed you with a little, how much many of you know he can bless you with a little more and a little more and a little more? And if you keep saying thank you, he'll keep opening up the doors for more. He'll keep giving you strength. He'll keep giving you the ingenuity to learn how to get more strength to be able to do more. But it all comes with you being thankful. He did not say thank you for the little things or for the great things. Second thing I want to share with you that I learned about this fool was that he didn't know not only to be thankful to God, but to pay his tithes or to give his offering or to set aside a portion of his prosperity and honor God with it. There is no place in these verses where he honored God in his giving. Listen to me well. He was a rich man. His ground brought forth plentifully. His increase kept on coming. And no place does he say thank you to God. And no place does he give a tithe, an offering, or has he purposed in his heart to bless the kingdom of God or anybody else for that matter with his riches. It was all for himself. It was all because he was self-centered. It was all because it was to be self-serving. No one else. So take thine ease. Man, sit back. Whew, you've done a lot. Look at all you've done. Look at all you've got. Ain't nobody did this but you. Ain't nobody else got no reason, take no glory from this, but you did this. Take your ease. As a matter of fact, why are you easing? Go on, eat you a little something. And then go on and drink you something. And when you get through drinking you something, go on and have a party. Hey. Whoo, this is my stuff. Oh, this is my stuff. Look at what I have done. My. And yet, he doesn't offer God a cent. And then, my brothers and sisters, third thing is, first, he didn't thank God for his blessings, small or great. Secondly, he didn't tithe, give God anything, not even an offering, less known, purposing to be a blessing out of the prosperity God blessed him with. But thirdly, and probably the most important thing was, he didn't trust God with his soul, his substance, or his surplus. Let me say that again. He did not trust God with his soul. That part that's like God, he didn't even trust God with his soul. He didn't trust God with the substance that God blessed him to have. Because he didn't acknowledge God as being the one who gave it to him. He think he did it on his own. And then if he did that on his own, then the surplus, the extra, the lad yap, the more came as a result of his continual hard work. And he didn't trust God with his soul. He didn't trust God with his substance, riches. And he didn't trust God with his overage, his surplus, his lanyap, his extra. None of that did he trust God with. And my brothers and sisters, I've learned that if you can't trust God with your soul, what can you trust him with? Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? His soul. All of the stuff that this man had accumulated could not equal his soul. And he didn't even trust God with his soul. That's a fool. That is a fool. But I got news for you. Before it got to number three, it got to number one. And I want to tell somebody in here today, if you don't learn how to be thankful to God for the little things, if you don't learn how to say, God, thank you for the air I breathe, thank you for waking me up, thank you for health and strength, thank you for opening the door, thank you for doing this, thank you. If you don't learn how to say thank you for these things, how will you learn to thank him for the great big old things? God loves to hear thank you every day, all day. Why? Because he keeps on blessing us every day, all day long. And he's worthy to be thanked and praised. Matter of fact, you ought to just get in the attitude of thanksgiving. In everything, the Bible says, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? Concerning you. In other words, every time God does something good for you, guess what God is expecting? He's expecting a thank you. He's expecting a glory. He's expecting a hallelujah. He's expecting, oh, bless his holy name. He's expecting some acknowledgement of his goodness to you. It doesn't matter how many other folk around you don't tell him thank you. We're talking about what he's done for you. Mm. Secondly, you got to realize, I don't care how much you have, part of that belongs to God. He had more than he could spend laid up for many years. Many years. And yet he doesn't offer God one single dime. He doesn't say, God, thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the rich soil. Thank you for the seeds I've sown. Thank you. He doesn't say, thank you, Lord, for anything and give God tithe, offering, gift, nothing. And it all belongs to God. I just want to tell somebody, because I don't want God to call you a fool. Don't get in the habit of being blessed and not blessing God. You see, because listen, the little bit you got now, listen, God's got so much more waiting for you. But here's what God knows. If you're not faithful in a little, you're not going to be faithful in much. You won't pay your tithes off, $100. You around there praying, Lord, let me win that $1.3 billion in that Jesus. I promise you, I'll tithe, I'll give to the church, I'll help the. Now, God's like that. You don't even pay your tithe off the little money you make on your job. What, do you think God is stupid? All God has to do is look at your record.